Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
Roy Matlock Jr. here on the Money and Business Hour, getting started once again on helping you move where you want to be, which is in control and have that gap between your income and your outgo. And today's show is going to be kind of what do I do when I meet with people, and what should you be looking for if you were going to try to get a plan together and really go, you know, take your financial situation in control, get in control of your finances. And so, yeah, as I look back, I've been doing this for 36 years, and there's some things that, you know, I look and I see, and, you know, in meeting with people, you know, years ago, I used to go into people's homes and I could walk in their house and immediately I could see if they had any, I knew if they had any money or not. And then I'd walk in the next house in the same neighborhood. I could tell if they, you know, were broke or they had anything. It's just by what they focused on and the way they operated. And, you know, sometimes I would see people that made the same amount of money, and one of them, they're in debt up to their eyeballs, and they got car payments and credit cards and all this kind of stuff and no money. The other one's got $100,000 in their 401k and moving in a great direction. And so some of the things that I learned is that, you know, it starts out, there's four keys that I believe are the keys to getting financially independent. And so today we're going to talk about that. And I would encourage you, as we're going through this, one part of the one of those keys is education, is to visit my website, RoyMatlockJr.com, and start listening to the podcast. The podcast, I have over 100 and, I don't know, there's 130 podcasts or more. I don't know exactly the number now, to where if you take and you start listening, what you're going to do is you're going to start getting educated. And then that way you can make good decisions. But the four keys that I always have felt like are the steps to getting financially independent, number one is a plan. All right, so write that down. You got to have a plan. Most people don't plan to fail, they fail to plan. You've heard that. So we're going to talk about the plan, what's involved in putting together a plan. The second part is education, ongoing education. And ongoing education, think about this, okay? What is, you know, money's not everything, but they say it's the next closest thing that you need other than air. All right, because if you don't have any money, you can't even afford to eat. All right, and so what happens is you got to have ongoing education with your money, because your money controls all aspects of your life. And so the second part is education. The third part is I believe this, and I've dealt with people for years and years and years and years, to where they have an advisor. A financial advisor. I am a financial advisor. I have people that I have coached for 30 years. I had a call just a couple days ago from a client of mine. I was young, getting started in 1986, and this guy was young and he had kids and he was broke and, you know, really just wanted to just try to get ahead. And we set up a term life insurance policy and a $25 per month mutual fund back then, where you could have it going in every month. And I was on the phone with him just yesterday. He's now retired. And he's got $1 million net worth, got over $800,000 saved. His house is paid for because he had a plan. And I've known this family for over 30 years. And I got started with them. They grew up with me. All right. And so the advisor is very important. I believe that to be true in anything you do. You know, if you want to be a great golfer, find a great golf coach. If you want to have your health going in the right direction, guess what you need to do? You need to find a good doctor. All right. And so you always want to find somebody that's knows more than you. But you got to go get educated as much as you can, and you still want to be with someone that knows more than you. As soon as you start telling somebody that if you're talking to somebody and they know more about what you're doing than the person you're going to, you don't want to be there. So the advisor is the key element. The advisor is the coach that helps you monitor and follow through. And then the last part is product selection. In product selection, you know, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of different places you can put your money. I mean, you can put it under your pillow at night, or put it out, bury it in the backyard, or you can put it into an individual stock or buy an option, or you can do an annuity, or you can put it in real estate. You got all these different things that happen. And so product selection is number four. So what we're going to do today is we're going to go through, talk about those four things, how I would go about doing all of this. And additionally, I'm going to answer some questions. I've got, you know, something right now that I'm going to cover today is I'm going to cover mortgages, because, and this can be part of this education, because I see things happening in the mortgage business right now that just doesn't make sense that people would do these things. You know, the refinance train wreck that is going on right now. It's unbelievable what's going on. The refinance train wreck. I'm going to talk about that. So let's get started to begin with. What is a financial plan? Well, the first thing with a financial plan that you need to have is something called a GPS, the goal, the plan, the schedule. So we start with the plan by putting together a goal. And my whole mindset when it comes to a goal is I want to have a couple of three things that are happening. Number one, I want to be able to know that if I quit working, I'll never run out of money. So I need to have a financial independence number. That number is a number that can be calculated. I do that for my customers. I can say, here's your number based on where you're at, based on where we project you to be with inflation, this type of return on your money, and we expect you need to have this amount of money saved. Currently, you have this. Based on what you're doing currently and your income and your goals, you need $2.8 million when you retire. And to do that, you have to save, starting today, along with what you have. We got to allocate it right, and you need to save $1,200 a month, whatever that number is. So once you get that, that's your FIN number, all right, your financial independence number. All right, the other number, other thing that I want to do is I want to be in a position to where that my income stream is secure. Now, how do I get my income stream secure? I become great at something I love doing. All right, I become great at something I love doing, and then my value proposition, all right, is there. I'm always aware of what's going on, and then that way I've got a good income stream, which allows me to put the plan together. And so when we meet with people, that's what I do. I'm a financial advisor. I'm a fiduciary. This is what I do. I've been doing this for 36 years, and I have a team of people that does this. And this is what we go about doing and helping people. And so if you need help, what I would tell you, or if you want to get a plan, you're doing well, you just want to review, visit roymatlockjr.com. You can download a lot of our free resources, and you can schedule a 15-minute phone call. We're going to be right back as we get through the four keys: plan, education, advisor, and product selection. All right, we're back. Roy Matlock Jr. Today's show, we're talking about the four keys to financial independence. If you're just tuning in, the plan, the education, the advisor, and the product selection. When we came out of the break, The thing we were talking about was the plan. And the plan is, you know, it starts with the goal, the plan, the schedule. And so when we look, you're 35 years old, what's your goal? I want to quit and make 80 grand a year, do nothing money. All right, great. And what's the plan? We're going to put together a plan of action to do this. And then we're going to schedule 30 years out. Here's your FIN number. This is your financial independence number. Now, once we do that, we put the plan together. What are some of the things that make up the plan? Well, the first thing is that I've always said that you should learn to live on 50% of your income. And if you can do that, it's hard starting out. But, you know, a young couple, I've said this many times, you know, you're probably both living separately, all right, and then you moved in together. Why wouldn't you just save one of your incomes for 3 years and have $100,000 set aside? And, I mean, things like that happen. And, you know, young people, they make mistakes, you know, cars and too expensive of a house, they get a credit card debt, or they don't get started quick enough. So when I'm working with somebody young, most important thing I'm going to tell you to do is look, don't have a car wreck. All right. And that's by walking in and buying some stupid car you can't afford and finance it forever. that kind of thing. You want to buy used and buy cheap and pay cash and take the car payment that everybody else is paying, and that's an investment that you put into your Roth IRAs and stuff like that. Don't go buy a house based on what the mortgage company tells you you can afford or the realtor. Go buy something that people would say, man, you would have think you spent more money than that on, you know. But the fact of the matter is I just talked to somebody that they're making a six-figure income, and they went and bought a condo. They're living alone and went and bought a condo and paid $180,000 for it. How about that? All right, smart money move. And then you've got a place, and, you know, so don't make a house become the reason you stay broke. The third thing is you avoid credit card debt and financing things that go down in value. How do you do this? It all becomes part of the budget. So if you get started and you learn to live on half, you include all of the things that are going to happen, like maintenance and, you know, things like that, and, you know, being dumb and backing into the post here at the radio station. I did that on my car, so I get to go fix my bumper, you know, things like that. You're going to have those things come up, but what happens is you already have them planned in. They're built in. And you eventually get your mindset around 50%. I'm gonna live on half, and when I do that, that allows me to pay my taxes and probably save 25%. Now, how do you live on half? Well, again, it goes back to protect your income stream. Make sure your income stream is a growing income stream. I remember when I first got in business, I had 18 consecutive years of income increases. Well, if you do that, eventually all that income increase, other than the taxes that are involved in it, is just pure savings. And so then you start getting ahead. And then if you want to raise your lifestyle, go ahead and raise your lifestyle. So the step number one in the plan is the budget. The second one is avoid disaster by having an emergency fund. About 6 months of your cash should be set aside in something liquid that's easy to get to. The third part is we're going to have a plan to stay out of debt other than good debt. Good debt is debt that we can afford, and debt that is tied to something that appreciates. All right. Maybe you put some money into your business and you borrow some money at low interest rates and do that kind of stuff, or you buy a house that you can afford that's appreciating, things like that, or you buy rental property that you can afford. You got 50% equity in the rental property. Usually, if you have 50% equity in a rental, you never have to worry about having it be vacant because you can rent it under market and keep it busy, keep it full all the time. My dad did that for years. And so you do that, and you make sure that you don't get the bad debt, which is debt that you're overextended on. You don't buy finance things that go down in value. You don't finance things that you consume, like vacations and lunch and all that kind of stuff. A lot of people don't realize this, but if you have a balance on your credit card at the end of the month and you borrow and you go use it for lunch and you didn't pay the balance off the month before, you're financing your food from the moment that they swipe, and you're paying 18% interest on your eating out. So anyway, so those are some mistakes that you want to avoid. We want to buy the right insurance. There's some things when you buy insurance that you need to think about. One is you insure your income, and you do that with two types of insurance. You buy life insurance, which is income protection. So what happens is this: if you are earning an income and you say to yourself, well, I'm making $60,000 a year and I'm 40 years old, I expect to work 25 more years, then that means if I don't get a pay raise, I'm going to earn $1.5 million in over the next 25 years. So then I need to buy term life insurance, maybe a 25-year term, to get me to retirement, and I need to buy enough that I could put it in an investment and it would pay that $60,000 a year for the next 25 years. And so you're going to have $1.5 million of earnings if you don't get a raise. You may find out that for $700,000 of coverage, it's a math problem, you can buy enough term insurance to do that. I would never buy cash value life insurance. It's just high priced, overvalued, fees, everything that goes along with it. I always tell people, buy term insurance. Buy term life insurance rather than putting extra money into a cash value, universal life, whole life, all the different ones. I would put the money into an investment, maybe your Roth IRA, or put it into your 401k, whatever it may be. So that would be on the life insurance. Disability income is another one that insures you in the event something happens to where you can't work anymore, or you just can't do your job. So let's say you're a surgeon and you're capable, but you know your back is so messed up you can't do surgery anymore and bend over, but you can do other things. Well, those other things don't pay you $500,000 a year, so you would buy disability income insurance geared toward your specifics. All right, and then that way you would be in a position to continue to go do something else and make money, but because you couldn't do what you're doing, you would be able to get your disability income. So those are income protection. We also want to have asset protection. Asset protection is liability coverage. All right. What's called a personal umbrella policy, which in the event somebody gets hurt and you're the cause of it, your house, you wreck a car, whatever it may be, you buy an umbrella policy, a liability policy, which allows you to have additional coverage to protect people from suing you, and you become lawsuit proof because you've got the insurance company backing you up. You might buy, depending on your assets, $1 million, $2 million, whatever it might be. We also buy coverage for our cars and our home. That's asset protection as well. And then I can throw one more in there that would go along with it, and that would be long-term care insurance, and that is asset protection. So those are things that you go about doing. Long-term care covers in-home help, assisted living, as well as if you go in a nursing home. And so what we do is we say, well, if we had something like that happen to us, where we ended up going in, then what would end up happening is we need something that would pay out enough to cover the expense of two properties, meaning one of you is at home and the other one is in the nursing home. And so what happens is you start looking at it. So now we've built the defensive position in the plan. Every one of these requires product selection, which we'll get down into in a little bit. But the bottom line is that we now know what we need to do. And then what we do is we implement products into those things. Now, a budget, you can go to roymatlockjr.com and get on the get the download for the budget. All right. And this will help you get started. I use like money market accounts for an emergency fund. I use, you know, mine, you know, I tell people you can put it tied into your mutual fund. And the reasoning for that is that allows you to be able to move the money quickly if you wanted to into the market or something like that. Or you can do it at the bank. The insurance, you need to have the right person choosing the right insurance. All right. Because you can get ripped off and things like that. And we do that kind of stuff. And then the last part is we want to have a plan to stay out of debt, and that goes right back to the budget. The budget's the most important thing. And so part of the plan is the defensive position. That's what we just talked about. When we come back, we're going to get detailed more into the offensive position when it comes to your budget. I hope you're enjoying the show. Visit roymatlockjr.com, and I would encourage you to download some of our free resources. Sign up for my podcast. Hey, we've even got a 13-week Zoom course that you can sign up called the Client Education Series. With that being said, we will be right back. All right, we are back, and my name is Roy Matlock Jr. If you're just tuning in, this is the Money and Business Hour. You can listen, you know, on the radio. You may be doing it now or listen to the podcast, and Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hour. And you can get that podcast pretty much anywhere, or you can go to roymatlockjr.com and get some of the free resources. So we got through the plan. We started out with the GPS, the goal, the plan, the schedule. We came up with our FIN number, so we're moving in that direction. This is a calculation. Then what we did is we went through the defensive positions, and the defense is, you know, the budget, the emergency fund, keeping and staying out of bad debt. And then what we do is we go into and we buy the right insurance. Now we're going to go on the offense. Now, what I want to do now is talk a little bit about the mortgage business, because It's just amazing to me, you know, rates are at an all-time low, yet most people have not taken advantage of that. You know, refinancing right now is if you haven't refinanced your home, you need to be checking on it. But here's some of the train wrecks that I see happening when you refinance. So let me kind of walk you through what happens when you when you're shopping around and you're trying to figure this out. And, you know, we can help you with this kind of stuff. I also am in the mortgage business, so I'm going to give you an idea what I know about it. I've been in that business. I got in the business back in the early 2000s. So the mortgage end, refinancing. So let's talk about refinancing. All right. So there's things that go in to refinancing. So let's just start out and say you owe $300,000 on your house and you got a 4.5% loan, something like that. And you say, I've heard rates are like 2.5 or something like that. And you go and you get ready to refinance and you start looking and you got 26 years. You've been paying on your house for 4 years. So right now you've got 26 years at 4.5% and your house will be paid for. And you call the mortgage person up and you say, what's the rate? And they say, oh, we can get you a 2.75. And you go and you're like, wow, 2.75, da, 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 da. And this is what most people do. They go down there and they walk out of that place with a 30-year loan. All right, so you used to have a 26-year loan, but now you got a 30-year loan. The second thing that happens is that 2.75 rate, you had to pay all these points, and you had to buy this rate down and all this kind of stuff. And so when you did that, you spent $8,000 on that loan to do that. So now you owe $308,000. And you have 30 years left. You used to owe $300,000, and you have 26 years left. And I started adding that up. I'm like, now, hold on a second. There's got to be – that doesn't make a lot of sense. You mean I started out, I had 26 years left and owed $300,000, and now this idea of refinancing, I turned around. Now I got $308,000 owed in 30 years. And I'm like, hold on a second. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But you say, but I saved $200 a month. And I'm like, okay, you save $200 a month. Where did you save it at? And you know what most people do? They don't save it. They blow it. So here's what they did. They refied, owe more, longer, and blew the difference. That's a train wreck. That's a mortgage train wreck. So what I always recommend people, and also I want to point out this $8,000 that you paid, if you take $200 a month, it's going to take you, without the compounding of it, it's going to take you, what, 200 into 8,000, 40 months, 4 years, just to get that back, all right, because you paid it up front, plus it's growing and it's going to take you 4 or 5 years, whatever it may be. So I tell people, here's the way I refinance. I call it a smart refi. So the first thing is I tell people when I go in to a mortgage company, I say the first thing I want to do is when I walk out of here, I owe $300, I want to owe $300. How about that? I don't want to pay any front end, even finance it. I want to owe $300. The second thing is this. I've got 26 years left on the mortgage. Maybe I want to go ahead and do 20, just give me a 26-year mortgage. What about that? Most people didn't know that. Well, they have those things. The next thing is if I decide that I want to do a 30-year mortgage, what I'm going to do is still only owe $300, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to set up an account automatically in order to invest the monthly difference. So let's say I save $200 a month. We're going to put $200 a month into my Roth IRA, automatically drafted the same day that the normal house payment was being drafted. So if I start out and my house payment's automatic, a lot of people set that up, and it's drafting on the second of the month, every month, then my draft for my investment is going to draft. And then what that's going to do is as I pay down the mortgage, I'm also having an outside investment. Now, how do you go about getting it where you don't do that? It's all built into the rate. So what you tell them when we refi, we say, look, I want the cost in the rate. So I'm not going to get 2.75 anymore. What I'm going to do, I used to have 4.5. I'm not getting 2.75 anymore. I'm getting 3.25. Now, that 3.25 is a no cost. And then if I see rates drop again, I can go back and refinance again and get 3. And if rates drop again, I can do it again because I'm not paying all these costs that I have to recoup. Now, keep in mind that 2.75 that you're getting, if you look at your APR and everything on that, that's based on you holding that loan for 30 years. So let's say you sell your house and you paid $8,000 and you sell your house 3 years from now. What was the rate that you paid? Well, if you had that $8,000 to 3 years, you may have been financing your house at 6%. And so I see this all the time because right now we've got low interest rates. I believe you should refinance, but do it smart. And it's part of a financial plan that allows you to move forward. I also look, I see a lot of times people they're so hell-bent on paying their house off. Well, why? Why do we want to pay our house off when we can get rates as low as we can? It's almost free money. So I would not be paying my house off. I would be taking and doing things. Now, keep in mind, when I advise people to do this, a lot of you have a bunch of equity in your house. You might want to pull some of it out when you refinance. You might want to pay off, if you've got some debts, pay it off, all right, because you can get it at such a lower rate. Maybe even pull out some money. All right. And do something with that equity and invest it and do different things like that. Now, keep in mind, you don't want to do that if you don't understand what you're doing and you do not take radio advice and do stuff like that. What you do, you meet with an advisor and then they can give you ideas on how to do things. But your mortgage today is I see some of the biggest train wrecks going on refinancing. Unbelievable. If you want help on that, when it comes to your mortgage, if you want to find out about refinancing the smart way, just go to roymatlockjr.com and fill out one of our forms and we will follow back up with you and we can help you on that. So there's so many things in the mortgage. That's part of the offense is the mortgage business, all right, and doing it right. There's another thing that people I see at retirement that they can do, something called a reverse mortgage. What is a reverse mortgage? It's a optional payment mortgage. If you're at least 63 and you've got your home paid for, and maybe you don't have enough cash flow right now, you might consider doing a reverse mortgage. I think it's a great idea. You know, a lot of people say, I work so hard to get out of debt and now my house and now you want me to, well, here's the way they work. You can get cash out right up front, never have a payment, take that money and turn it into an income stream, and it allows you to be able to survive. Or maybe you still owe a little bit of money on it, and you're paying $1,200 a month on your mortgage, and you do a reverse mortgage, and now that $1,200 goes away, and it allows you to live. All right, and then what happens is when you pass away, you still own that. Your family gets the property. The only difference is it's got a mortgage tied to it, and they're going to have a year to sell it, just like they would sell it if you pass away anyway. So it's not like the mortgage company takes it or anything like that. So the point being is those are a couple of things that are part of an offensive position when it comes to your money is your mortgage. Your mortgage is, it matters. Personal real estate property that you own matters, okay, the way you handle it. It's a big asset. I see balance sheets all messed up. I see people with paid for houses and no money, and they're just pushing to pay their house off when they're basically, the rate of return you're getting is whatever your interest rate is, and if you refinance smart, you're sitting there at a 2.5%, 3.5%, something like that. Why are we doing that, all right? So if you're just tuning in, we're going through the four keys to getting your finances: plan, education, the advisor, product selection. Stick with me. We will be right back. And be sure and visit roymatlockjr.com. Download some of our free resources. We'll be right back. All right, Roy Matlock Jr., and we are back, and we're talking about the four keys: plan, education, advisor, product selection. And so at this point, we've moved into the offense. We talked about mortgages and not making a train wreck for a mortgage refi. And so then what we're going to do is we're going to now move into the investment side. You know, we start looking at saving money and investing money. And so here's some things that you want to consider if you're in a situation where you have a company-sponsored retirement plan and they're matching on top of that. Let me give you the answer to that. Do it. How about that? if you're over age 50 and you have a 401k and one of your spouses doesn't, but you've got cash flow to do it, well, then max out your 401k, put $26,000 in plus the match. Get a huge tax deduction as a result of it. So you've got a lot of different ways. If you're young, you can do a Roth 401k. If you're self-employed, you can do a uni 401k where you put that $26,000 in to your own individual 401k, or you can do a SEP plan and put as much as $58,000 in if you're self-employed. There's all these different things, but here's the key to it. Why do you put money in a retirement plan? Because you will need it one day. And so that's first and foremost. And along the way, we get benefits, tax deductions, things like that. Or if you're young, you might go the Roth IRA, where you can put $6,000 in. Or if you're 50 and up, you can put $7,000. But the long and short of it is, we want to make sure that we're taking advantage and automatically paying ourselves first, either through a 401k deduction or 403, whatever you're in where it's automatically done, or you have it automatically drafted out of your checking account. You know, I'm celebrating my client's money right now. We are $4 million short of managing for our clients $1 billion. I started with my first investment. It was $50 a month for me. And from there, I built a business that handles almost $1 billion. I thought it was getting ready to go over. But the point being is that over time, people invested monthly. And they did it through 401ks. They did all that. And that's where the billion came from, or almost $1 billion, that I manage. And so the point being, guys, you got to have something that's automated to help you get retirement going. Now, what else goes into the plan? Well, you got college for your kids. You got 529s, you got ESAs, you got UTMAs, you got UGMAs, you got all these different things. But the college plan should come after the retirement plan. You know, what's the worst possible outcome? They got student loans, but, you know, when you're 70 years old, you don't want to be, you know, wishing you'd save money for retirement because you gave it all to your kids and stuff like that. And so then what we do is we then go to what we call our opportunity fund. And our opportunity fund is extra money that we fully funded our retirement plans and done all that. That's where we put money aside for opportunities. We never know. Maybe a business opportunity comes along, or maybe you diversify yourself and you say, hey, I'm going to buy some real estate. You know, if you want to do that, just keep in mind, real estate is active money management. If you own a rental property, you got to make sure it's rented. You got to make sure it's maintained. You got to check the renters out. You got to do all that. You got to advertise it. You got to file your taxes, do all that kind of stuff. Or you go with something like a mutual fund or a managed account, stuff like that. You have that money that's passive. You don't do anything. You just get the money in the mailbox money. Now, when you do those kind of things, you have other options. You have annuities. There's all different types of annuities. I'm not going to go into all the annuities right now, but the bottom line, this is what we do. We sit down, we say, we got all these different things. We got to pick our 401k right. We got to do all that. That's part of a plan. So if I sit down with someone, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to them about, hey, we got to have a plan. We got to have a goal. We got to have a plan. We got to schedule. We got to put all this together. We got to have ongoing education. And the reason we need ongoing education is because if you are not educated on and have a reasonable working knowledge of what you're doing with your money, then what's going to happen is you can get taken advantage of. There are people out there in the financial world that are not good guys or gals that will take advantage of you. And so what you want to do is you want to have enough education that you can ask reasonable questions to an advisor who has more education, because that they should be. I mean, the reason that I do what I do is because I like it, and I like helping people get in the right direction financially. So as a result of that, I spend a lot of time studying it, and it's hard to find a question somebody can ask me that I don't know the answer to. You know, I used to do this show with Dave Ramsey and I. We had the radio show called The Money Game, 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. Did that for, gosh, going on 8 or 9 years, something like that. And people would ask me questions all the time. And, you know, it's one thing to not know the answer if it's me and one other person, but it's a whole entirely different thing when you got the whole radio listening to you. And so it made me, I was scared somebody was going to ask me a question I didn't know the answer to. So I got in the habit of studying. I still do that today. And so what happens is you want to find an advisor all right, that's on their game, that they haven't quit. They're not, you know, 70 years old and they quit studying and you got your money sitting there and they're not paying attention. They need to follow up. And so one of the key elements that I have done is I have made a point to try to provide as much educational content as I can for people. And if you choose to do business with us, you're going to be educated. I don't want you to be in the dark. A lot of people, advisors, want you to be in the dark. And then that way they can tell you what to do, and maybe they tell you the wrong things that they make more money doing. And so the point being is education's part of it. So what would I do? I would make a point that put aside 30 minutes to an hour a week listening to things about finance. You can listen to my podcast. You can listen to the radio show. You can go online. Just read. All right. Then that way you got some idea what's going on. You don't have to be. So education is important. So you got a plan. The second part is education. I use podcast as a great way. I do a lot of reading. I have a news feed that I go in on my phone, my Apple phone. I have a news feed and I choose the subject matter and it just gives me all this information all the time. And so I'm always studying. You know, I listen to things. You know, that's what I do. I'm a great learner. And what I do is I spend time educating. You should do that. You know, if you take 10 years off and don't pay attention to your money, you're going to find out there's things that have occurred. Hey, what's Bitcoin? Well, nobody ever heard of Bitcoin. It didn't exist. Now you got that. You're like, man, it's been 10 years. I hadn't heard any. You're still thinking back in the olden days. And so what you want to be thinking about is always being up to speed. Education is number two key. Plan is number one. Number three is the advisor. Now, what does the advisor provide? Well, the advisor helps you put together the plan. They're a resource for questions. So if someone has a question, I have people all the time, they call me up, and I had a guy just recently call me up. He said, well, should I max out my 401k? He's in his 50s, or I've got kids that are going to be going to college, or should I put the money into a 529 plan? All right. I said, well, if I were you, I would max out the $26,000. He wasn't putting that in. That's going to save you about $8,000 in taxes. And you can take the tax savings and stick it into your 529. How about that? So he was thinking, well, I don't want to fund my 401k because I think I'm going to put some money. I don't want to max it. I'm going to do this. Well, what did we do? By asking that question, we were able to give it makes total sense. If I fund the 401k, I save $8,000 in taxes. I can then take the $8,000 and fund the 529. But if I try to put money in the 529, I don't save the taxes. So I don't have as much money to do it. That was just, for me, that was like a simple question. But this person, that's not what they do. All right. They are at law enforcement. You know, they know how to do things in law enforcement. I don't know how to do, but this is the stuff. This is why you go to a financial advisor. Had another person call me up and they had a 401k and they would need to do some home improvements, roof, all this kind of stuff they really needed to do. And they were called. They called in. They said, I need to get $50,000 out of my 401k to do. I'm like, hold on a second. If you do that, it's going to cost you $70,000 to do it because you're going to pay taxes and penalty and all that kind of stuff. And I said, rather than do that, let's do an equity line of credit on your house. They had a bunch of that, but they had plenty of equity to do that. And you can pull $50,000 out and it's going to cost you about $200 a month in interest compared to paying $20,000 and losing $50,000 that's going to be your retirement plan later. And they're like, oh, well, that makes sense. All right. Well, they were, you know, that's why I'm a financial advisor. I have people call me up and ask things like that all the time. And if you have a good advisor, they should be able to do that. You know, your advisor will work with a tax prep person to make sure that you do the right things there. So what does an advisor do? An advisor, I used to tell people that this business card I have is the only business card you'll ever need when it comes to your money. If I'm not involved in it, I know someone that I can advise you to go see who can help you get things in place. That's why you want a financial advisor. Now, you can do it yourself. That's why they have Home Depot. That's why they have Backyard Mechanics. But generally speaking, people do better, and it's statistically proven, if you get someone to help you that is qualified, you will end up with a better outcome. How about that? And a better outcome on your money is big. I'm going to just give you one example. If you improve your rate of return over a 20-year period by 0.5%, that will represent 5 years of retirement income. If you improve it 1% over a 20-year period, the back end is 13 additional years of retirement income. So you start thinking about that. It's important to have a trusted advisor. Then lastly, what you want to be able to do is get with that advisor and they can offer product selection. So for instance, you have to buy life insurance. So we need to find it. You have to buy, you're going to refinance your house. We got to get it done. You need home and auto insurance, health insurance. You need all these different insurances. You need to get it done. We need to pick and select a investment choice for your retirement plan, your 401k choices. All of those things are what advisors end up doing. They can do it as a fiduciary and they can do it as a commission person. The bottom line though is that generally speaking, that's something you do. That's why if I buy a house, I want to find a realtor that actually knows what they're doing. All right. I don't want a realtor that's a salesperson. I want a realtor that's an advisor that says, look, great school systems, great area, move out 3 miles outside of here. City's moving that way, you're going to be better off. That's why I want to get an advisor when I do this. So with all that being said, guys, I hope you enjoyed the show today. That's the four keys to financial independence: plan, education, advisor, and product selection. If I can help you, visit roymatlockjr.com if you would like help with your money. And I would encourage you to download all of our free resources, sign up for the podcast. We'll talk to you next week.